The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
It's time for Southeast Dirt Weekly.
And it is time for Southeast Dirt Weekly. Scotty Mack, you ready to roll, man?
Ready to roll. I'm a Chubzilla. Hold on, Chubzilla.
Yeah, we just...
Great interview.
Yeah, we just chopped off the last minute or so of that because of time constraints. But at the conclusion of tonight, Scotty, I got for you geared up last week's show that has Frankie Lloyd and the full interview with Chubzilla.
Oh, yeah, man. I tell you what, it was great having him on, and great week of racing. Well, I'd say semi-great week. Of course, unfortunately, Ocala got rained out, but we're looking forward to a great night tomorrow night. The weather is great here tonight, so I can only think it's going to be the same tomorrow night. Six-pack, Pepsi, six-pack Hobby Stock Series is going to be there, so it should be a great field of cars there tomorrow night at Ocala Speedway. And then, of course, now Todd Hutto down in East Bay. Think about this. Dollar draft night and fan participation race on the same night.
Now that's thinking. They were thinking.
You know, I mean he's on it, man. I got to tell you, that is off the hook right there. So dollar draft night and fan participation race. So there's no telling what we'll see out there. We saw Big Jim Bargo win it last time, and Big Jim Bargo, he's got to be what, 70?
I just cannot tell you. I know you remember this. I can never forget them scraping him and that Mustang off the wall a few years back. He went out with a broken leg.
You know, and this time, they're going around a track, and he starts beating and banging with this other car, and it fuses his door shut. It wedges his door shut. Now he can't get out either door. Big Jim is locked on the front straightaway, locked inside the car at East Bay. Can't even get out to get the winner's trophy, but yeah, that was insane stuff. So J.R. pray the race team down there, Tampa Bay Paving. So get down there for that if nothing else, and then like I said, dollar draft nights on top of that. There you go, Todd. Like I said, he's always thinking of something. So ought to be a wild night at East Bay Raceway Park. But tonight's show, man, you got a great lineup on hand. You know, we talked about some of the local drivers here, and I thought about who we could have on from down in East Bay, and of course, East Bay Raceway Park, the limited late model series, always competitive down there. So we have the points leader on from East Bay Raceway Park this week. Tim Gay is going to be on the line with us, so kind of cool there. We'll be able to speak to him. And tonight's guest, all the way coming from Richmond, Indiana, we're going to be on the phone with the Lucas Oil Dirt Late Model points leader and, of course, winner of the annual dream there at Eldora for last year, as Steve Casebolt will be on the phone with us. So we'll be on the...
Don't get no better than that, man. That's good.
No, it really doesn't. That's good stuff. They're going to be running a couple shows back-to-back this coming weekend, so we'll talk to him about his points lead. Man, it's slim over there between him and Earl Pearson. They're right there neck and neck. So, and then, of course, like I said, these guys are having a big weekend this weekend, so we'll talk to those guys about that.
On the 6th, the 6th of June, D-Day.
I mean, man, it's coming right down. You know, it's just like the first minute of the day. Remember when the season started, we were going, Powell Memorial, man, that's you know, that's like a long ways off.
And this is a monster event, Scotty, for the state of Florida and dirt racing. And it's just a monster event coming, man.
I'm so excited about this, too, for Mike. And he really, they deserve it. The fans here in Ocala deserve it. That's what really, really, and that's what Mike would tell you, too. I mean, that's what these guys work so hard for, is for the fans. They're going to get, once again, we talk about bang for the buck. Brother, that's going to be bang for your buck. And June the 6th, and you know, obviously y'all had, you were able to speak with James on the phone, and I'm sure he's planning on coming out. Tell me, who were some of the other people?
Well, we talked to, on Monday nights, or actually Tuesday night this week, Inside Florida Racing. We talked with Ocala Speedway owner Mike Peters, and we also talked with James Powell. And James isn't sure if he's going to be able to get a car or not. He had his car taken by David Ruderman.
That's what happens, man. You know, all of a sudden you think you got a ride, and it's like you get a tap on the shoulder. It's like, oh, wait, man, this guy wants to get in your car. You turn around.
Yeah, how are you going to say no to David?
Especially at that track. So, yeah.
Well, David's going to go up to, I guess, the Dream.
Well, you know, that's the other thing. We got a couple drivers heading up there. Of course, I've been well, with they heading up there as well. So
now, at least that's my understanding. That's what we got out of that whole deal. And there will be over 50. Everybody that's close to that series, of course, the promoter Ken Kenny for the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series, he's not saying a number. Mike's not saying a number. They're not going to put themselves in that position. But
yeah, you don't want to jinx yourself.
But everybody around that whole deal is saying that we're going to have probably 50 cars or more and late models
on the more.
And he's got a whole show planned. You know, he's got a big, big show, much more than the late models. But of course, it is going to be an emotional deal, as it always is.
It always is an emotional deal, but who are some of the other names that they threw out there that may be there? Obviously, I know Rich Pratt will be there. I wonder if my good buddy Patrick Williams will be there and what car he'll be driving.
Well, you got those top three guys. You got the Roger Krause and those guys who are leading the points, the top of the points. As we mentioned last week on your show, the Southeast Dirt Weekly, the top three spots in the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series are held down by East Bay's top guns.
And once again, as we said then, not surprised at all. But, you know, and then you have the other guy there. I forgot all about. Oh, yeah, one guy that's already won this year, Mike Bresnahan. He'll be there, I bet. So, you know, you have the local racers, and I'm interested to see who's going to make the long haul. And then, like, you know, got a NASCAR driver in there, and maybe, you know, who else knows who might show up there.
Of course, so, yeah.
It's going to be a great night, and my deal is get out there early. You know, it may be worth it to spend some money for some pit passes because you get to go back and obviously mingle back there with the guys in the back, maybe get some cool autographs. But, man, it's going to be packed. So my deal is get there early, get all your food, make sure you get settled in, buckle yourself down for a great night of racing here at the Powell Memorial. It's going to be a blast. I mean, it's going to be an experience like Ocala hasn't seen, obviously, in a long, 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 long time.
Well,
so for anybody here in town, you know, it's definitely the ticket to go to. I'm jacked up. I'm pumped up. And it's just going to be a great night. You know, I'm looking forward to it.
And like you said, it is. We can't stress enough of getting there early. Anybody that was there for opening night this year at Ocala certainly understands that. You definitely want to get there early because seats will be at a premium. There's no doubt.
No, I mean, we were parking down when the USAC Sprints came into town. I was parking, like I always said, they have the cattle auction down there. I think I parked literally up on the auction deck where the cattle go right across there. So get there early. I'm here to tell you, it packs out. I mean, and it will be packed for this event. And I can say I'm just excited. I'm going to be excited to see who all is going to be there. And that's really the name of the game. And the deal is for the fans. And I think they're just going to have a great – it's going to be a great time because Mike and Angie have put, you know, like I said, they put a lot of thought and effort into this. And the season's going great for them. And then obviously they're going to use this to catapult themselves for the rest of the year and help put them on the map with this James Powell Memorial. It's just going to be a great race, man. And then the race, it'd be pretty good too. So, yeah, June the 6th, make sure you mark it down your calendar to get out there for the Powell Memorial here at Ocala Speedway, America's dirt track, baby.
Tell you what, we're going to take a break now and we'll come back with your first guest, Steve. We're going to have Steve Casebolt on first, right?
Yeah, we'll get Steve first. He's busy as I'll get out, so I told him we'd try to get him on and off. So, yeah, we'll get to come right back on Southeast Dirt Weekly with the Lucas Oil Dirt Late Model Points leader and last year's Dream winner, Steve Casebolt.
Be right back.
Southeast Dirt Weekly.
CarNac.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNac gets it done.
Hi, I'm Don O'Neill, driver of the number 71 race car, and you are listening to The Real Racing USA.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out. UnitedDirtLateModels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated and Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes America.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Never in the history of cinema have so many done so little for so many.
You're a star.
Anybody can pay $8 to see a movie, but only a true artist can be paid $8 to be in a movie. Snotty lead actors need lines, direction, motivation, not you. You sit on your butt perfectly in scene after scene.
That's Hollywood.
A true pro, you're always focused, even if you're seldom in focus. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Nobody, because you're not just anybody, you're a paid anybody.
I don't recognize
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out. UnitedDirtLateModels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated and Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes America.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
All righty, welcome back to Southeastern Weekly, and Scott McAllister. Scott, you take it away.
Hey, man, well, we're trying to get lined up with Steve Case Bolto. We moved our other guest up forward, and we're on the phone tonight with the limited late model points leader out of East Bay Raceway Park, the 35 driver, Tim Gay. Tim, glad to be happy to have you on the show here at Southeast Dirt Weekly, man. Thanks for coming on board.
Hey, how's it going?
Real good, man. You're working away in the shop back there, I know.
Yeah, we're changing bell housing, man. Had a little problem last week, but luckily it didn't break on us then, but we found a problem. We're trying to fix it for next week.
You know, Jack, he says that to me every time I see him down in Victory Lane, man, which has obviously been, like I said, four times already this year. Yeah, car's not running quite right, but every year, man, and every time he's down there or something, this car actually has been performing well, but you and your team work hard on this, and that's part of the reason why. Tell me about the race shop there and just what y'all have. How many people work on the car? Is it just you and somebody else, or you got several people that work with you in your organization?
We got me and the car owner. He helps me, and his boy races mini stocks. He's number 35 mini stock, and he's out here with us helping us all the time. And you got to stay on top of him, man. I mean, if you don't go over him every week, these problems we have, if you just charge a battery and put fuel in them, man, it'll tear up on you every time. You got to stay on top of that stuff.
You know, that's one thing we talked about. I know last week we were talking with another driver. I mean, this is something you guys nut and bolt these things. I mean, and that's what makes you a winning team, because a lot of these guys, they drive their cars, they put them up, they don't pull them back out until Thursday. You know, and that's the next time they see them is Thursday night. That's not how you guys handle it there.
Not at all. I mean, we come over here, this is our second job. We work 8 hours a day and come here and work another four or five, usually just about every day, at least 3 days a week. And it pays off, man. And this is pretty much the best season I've had by far in the first five races. And it's been awesome, man.
So this season, I want to come back to how your routine works after the races. But this season, obviously, man, four wins. And when we talk about this, four wins. And out of all places, I'm talking East Bay Raceway Park, and I tell everybody this, you know, you go to East Bay, it's not a regular Saturday night show. You know, you're talking about some stiff competition, and I don't care if you're talking that mini four bomber class or, you know, all the way up to the late model class and everything in between, it's some stout competition there.
Oh, yeah. There's guys been out there just as long as I have, and some newcomers that are really on the ball, too, and you got to stay on top of your game, man. Ain't no doubt about that.
And so what do you think, man, this year? Obviously, you've had success here in the past, but this year it seems to really be working for you. Everything, I know it's more than just getting the car dialed in. There's got to be more to it than that.
Well, I mean, we've had a different motor builder this year. He's done a heck of a job. I mean, just the last year's motor, actually, we've had several races on it last year. We just freshened it up, and it's running strong, and yeah, I've been out there for quite a few years. I've been out there 15 years, and experience helps, you know. And
yeah, at that track especially, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, it was in a family thing, you know. My dad did it for years and years at Golden Gate, and I watched it a lot, and it's just it's come to me pretty easy, and I don't know what to say, man.
So in 15 years of racing, man, you've been going there to East Bay. I know you've obviously had some big moments in your life. Four wins this year is big, too. But tell me about some of the things you remember there. I mean, because I've only been going there for 1 year, but still you get – I don't care if you're brand new there. You get the idea real quick that that place has a lot of history. Tell me some of the things you've seen there that were really cool that you remember. Maybe not, you know, specifically tied to you, but just some things that were set in your memory.
The main thing is my dad never was too heavy on the dirt track. He only raced it maybe a season or so, but my uncle raced there. He ran late models for a few years, and the coolest thing was I was only about 13 years old, and that's when the pits was in the infield, and you had to be like 14 or 15 to get in, and I got to sneak in, and that was the coolest thing, to hit the infield and sneak in if you're underage and help my uncle out, and that was just that was my turning point pretty much to go to dirt, and my dad was an asphalt guy, so that's pretty much probably the coolest thing was going with my uncle down there helping him when I was a kid.
That's got to be so cool because every time you walk in that place, like I said, man, you get the idea, like I said, that this is not, you know, a regular Saturday night track. And winning there really does mean a lot. You guys have performed so well. You got to be really happy. Tell me about, you know, the rest of the season, obviously. Is there anything special you guys are going to do? Obviously, you're running the rest of the season there at East Bay. Y'all run anywhere else? Do you do any other kind of racing? What do you do when you're not racing?
Yeah, we tried to Ocala this year. We're kind of outclassed up there. We're like 4 or 5 pounds heavier than them guys when we go try to run late models and them shows and all. But we, you know, East Bay doesn't run us every week, and we want to race, and we're just going out making some laps, you know, having a good time. And we're kind of a mid-packer if we go run with late models wherever we go. We ran Clueston last year a little bit and had a good time down there. That's pretty much our class down there. We're pretty much even there. But pretty much anywhere else we go with this class of cars, we're kind of locked in at East Bay. It's you know, they got a little more here and there, and like I said, the weight's killing us. And back in the day, Ocala was dirt before it was asphalt. I had old street stock. Yeah, I ran up there. Had a good time up there. Had some top fives up there and ran on East Bay on Saturday nights, too. And it was cool.
And so how does the track compare from what it was then to what it is like now?
You can see a lot better, for one thing.
I don't see y'all see anything in those dog cars, but
back in the day, it looked like they had two street lights on in there. You couldn't see from one end of the street or the other, hardly.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, dark.
Man, that's the major plus of that track.
But, you know, the first thing I noticed, Tim, I don't know, and I didn't know anything from dirt, and Lord knows I still don't, but from going to East Bay, I look at that dirt, man, I walk across that, and it'll pull your shoes right off your doggone feet. And then you go to Ocala, and it looks very much different from just first appearance. Tell me your thoughts on that, and what are the differences there?
Oh yeah, but a big difference. It was type, like a Lime Rock type of track. It wasn't even like they used to have. I don't know what type of clay that is they call it or whatever, but it's just a real greasy, East Bay gets like that every now and then when you get a bunch of big tire cars out there, sprint cars and late models back to back, and then us, you know, it slicks off too, but you can't beat a tacky track, man. I'll put up with a little pothole or two here and there and have a little rough track as long as there's bite everywhere. That's where the racing is a lot of fun.
And that's where you guys really demand the limited late models there at East Bay. The coolest thing, like I said, I've heard some of the guys in the back, some of the drivers, obviously the car owners, and man, it had some holes going down that back straightaway. But, dude, I like it because you guys hit that back straightaway, and y'all don't limp, bumps or no bumps. There's no lifting going on, especially in that limited late model division. It's tough through there, man. Everybody you got in that division, they're up on you, and you got to stay up on the wheel in that division.
Oh, yeah, you got to go. If you don't go and hit the bump, you're going to get bumped, you know what I mean? And you got to watch the cars in front of you. When they hit the bump, you don't know which way they're going. And it's, once you get your nose in there and commit, sometimes it's a bad thing. Sometimes it works out. It's just a double knife deal there.
And, I mean, it really is by the seat of your pants, because I see you guys go in there, and you don't know what the car in front of you is going to do, and you drive the car off in there, and you're really... I mean, you're right on the edge of your seat, and the next move, you don't know what your next move is going to be because, dude, you don't know what the guy in front of you or inside you is going to be.
Exactly. My dad's been preaching it to me for the last 2 or 3 years. Get your car to work on the outside, son. Let them get down there and do what they want on the bottom and get up there and race and do your own thing and go around them. Don't get down there in that mess on the bottom. So.
Right. And you know what? I always get amazed when people go like, dude, hold your line. It's like, hold your line? Dude, they're driving all over the track. There's no line out there. Are you kidding me? They're all over the place. That's what really gets me is I know that they go, hey, hold your line, and I'm sure there is one. But in the asphalt side, yeah, I mean, it's just like you said, it's stay on the bottom. Whereas here, especially at East Bay, but and it happens at Ocala, too. It's the last lap, last turn type deal.
Right. It changes week to week, though. I mean, sometimes you do have a line. You know, you can have a pretty consistent lap after lap, but then there's always that guy in front of you and under you trying to get by and around, you know. So it's racing, man. You know what I'm saying? It's real racing. It's not follow the leader most of the time. 90% of the time, there's two grooves and sometimes three, and that's what makes it fun, man. That's why I stuck with the dirt.
And that's what's really cool about you guys is, you know, there's so many people that it's the first thing they say, well, how do I do this? And when I was doing the asphalt stuff, I said, you got to drive up to North Carolina because that's what you do. Here in the dirt, man, you really got the best of both worlds. You got to stay home and you're at, you know, a great track like East Bay Raceway Park. They do, you know, everything they do there is first class, and you got to love running there.
Oh, yeah, I've thanked the track every time I've got on a microphone, man, how good the track's been every week we've been out there. It's been awesome. Every week. They took care of that track good. They put plenty of water on it instead of letting it dry out, slick off. It's been a real excellent racetrack.
And that takes a lot of nerve for those guys because I remember the first time I came out there, I was like, that's mud out there. I mean, I was like, well, this isn't going to work. And it really was kind of muddy. But sure enough, by race time comes down, it was right on, spot on, perfect. You know, like I said, at first I was going, I don't know anything, but, dude, that looks like a mud hole out there. But sure enough, you guys, you know, they ran around, and you just got perfect. And I was like, well, I guess that's why they're the owners. But, yeah, they do a fantastic, and they're not, you know, scared to make. They know what to do.
Exactly. And when you go out there and you can't hardly move around in a heat race or in the hot laps, it's 9 out of 10 times it's going to be the right track in the feature. When you go out there when it's perfect in the heat race, it's usually bad, slicked.
Exactly. Yep. And the thing about it is, it's the same for everybody. You know, it's like, hey, this is the same for everybody, so you're racing on the same surface, but that's really what makes it cool. Tell me about the sponsors you guys are got right now. I know you're always looking for more. Boy, that's always a good thing, but tell me about who you got now.
We're definitely looking for more. All I got is my car owner, man, and he's pumping every bill in it, him and his wife, and that's about it. I mean, I got a guy that does my carburetors that helps us out, Dale Inman. He helps us out a whole lot on the car overall, not just carburetor, and that's pretty much it, man. We got Bruce's Pallets, man. The Bruce family have been awesome. They put every dime in this car and doing it right by themselves, you know.
Well, hopefully, like I say, we get some people listening to this show because, you know, you're out there four wins. First of all, you're at East Bay Raceway Park, which, I mean, that's just some great publicity right there for anybody that's wanted to do some advertising. And then, man, you put your car out there four times already this year. And really, you look back, and I mean, I don't want to jinx you or nothing, but, man, you're really running strong. And, you know, I just don't – I see you the rest of the year looking really good for the 35 team. I know you do as well.
I'd love to win the points. I've been out there 15 years. I've had some top threes in points. I mean, I've missed weeks. I've broke a bunch. And I'd sure like to win the points, but I'm not a points racer. I mean, if it's finishing second or going for the win or if it may be win the points and stay second, I'm still going to try to get up there and rub fenders and get the win. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I noticed dirt racers don't really care too much for point racing. It doesn't seem like that really follows their mentality doesn't go that way. But I have no doubt that we're going to see you out there once again. And like I said, if you're a sponsor looking to get yourself on a car that goes to victory lane, the 35 machine, Tim Gay, doing a fantastic job, points leading for the limited late model division. Well, once again, Tim, thanks for being on Southeast Dirt Weekly. Jack and I appreciate it. Man, we look forward to seeing you back at East Bay. Coming up real soon. You're going to be here. Is it Saturday night for you guys?
Next Saturday, not this Saturday, but following Saturday. Yep.
All right. Well, we'll see you then, man. And thanks for coming on Southeast Dirt Weekly.
I appreciate it, man. Anybody out there want to sponsor a fast race car, just give me a call.
Call him up, man. Get down to East Bay. I'll take you down to the pits and we'll hook you up.
Hook me up, man.
Yeah, we will. We will, no doubt. Once again, thanks for coming on.
All right, man.
All right, Jack.
All right, there you go, Scotty. So now, anybody that wants to sponsor Tim Gay in any way, shape, form, or manner, just get a hold of Scotty. Scotty will take care of it, man.
Yeah, what I don't understand is, like I said, four times in Victory Lane at East Bay Raceway Park. I mean, dude, and, I mean, you know, the sponsor, and I'm used to people asking for sponsor was like, you know, $5,000. Dude, these guys will take $500.
Sure enough.
A long, long ways, and believe me, when Tim gets that microphone, fantastic job. He thanks everybody. He knows exactly what to do. They have a good time. It'd be a great thing to do, you know, if you want to sponsor a race car and get involved in racing. And, you know, if you're not an owner of a race car and you're not a driver and you want to get involved, believe me, you give those guys $500, they'll buy you some pit passes. You can go down there and have a good time with them in the pits. And
it sure is fun. You know, that's how I got involved back in the mid-90s. That's exactly how I got involved sponsoring cars. And it was... It was a very, very much a fun experience.
Yeah, I mean, if you get in with somebody that really knows, you know, how to promote and show somebody a good time, then it really is, like I said, it's, you know, Dwayne Dempsey would say it's like bowling night.
Yeah, exactly. And where you really get involved, and I'm not talking about guys that just go out and throw a little bit of money around, but I mean really get involved with the team and the guys and get to know the team and be a part of it as a sponsor. That's a lot of fun. That's a whole other way of doing racing, you know?
Yeah, as I said, I'm not a race car driver and certainly not an owner, so it's a, you know, it's a great way to stay involved and get involved with those guys. And if you get in with the right guys, they'll really have you, you know, you'll have a great time. And, you know, going there to East Bay, and if you're able to promote your business and put it on a car like Tim Gay's, believe me, Tim, and, you know, Tim knows how to do it, and he's been there for 15 years. So, you know, with that experience comes obviously a little bit of ability to work his car and work his magic as far as exposure goes, and Tim knows how to do it. He knows how to do it just right. So, yeah, I mean, any car at East Bay would be good, but
yeah, you know,
Tim Gay's obviously a great performer there at East Bay, and just 15 years at that track. You know, he's seen some stuff come and go.
Talk to Steve Casebolt while you were doing the interview there, and we're all set with that one. But before we go to break, you know, while you were talking about with Tim about East Bay Raceway Park, and sometimes when you go out there early, it looks pretty muddy and, you know, all that. I remember one time, and you know our good friend Craig Clark, who owns Track Rescue, who they do all the safety for the IHRA. Of course, a lot of stock car racing safety team. He owns the safety teams, and he's he's an expert in that game. It's really funny. We were all out there one time, and we were walking across to the infield. Craig lost his shoe in turn four crossing the track, and he never did find it.
That is funny, man.
It's still out there, and if you know, and that could happen to anybody, but to happen to Craig, he didn't take it well.
That is funny, man.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing about I never will forget when I was walking across that track, man, it about pulled my shoes off, and I was like, Todd, this ain't right, man. And,
yeah, you know, buddy.
I was like, is this the way it's supposed to be? And then it's like I said, they've taken some. I never will forget the first night I came out there. I was like, dude, this is not going to work. You got a mud hole here.
Yeah.
But come race time, everything looks right on, man.
It sure works. So let's go to break right now, Scotty, and then we'll come back with your Steve Casebolt. We'll have him lined up for you.
Sounds good.
All right.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners. Drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
Hi, I'm Tyler Ivey, driver of the number 47 car, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
Hi, I'm Don O'Neill, driver of the number 71 race car, and you are listening to The Real Racing USA.
It's time for Southeast Dirt Weekly.
Hey, welcome back to Southeast Dirt Weekly here on RealRacingUSA.com. Hang on a second here. We're going to hook you back up with Scotty Mack. Got his very special guest lined up for you. And take it away, Scotty.
Hey, man, Jack. Thanks for having us on Real Racing USA Southeast Dirt Weekly here tonight on Thursday, each and every Thursday night. And on the phone with his current Lucas Oil Dirt Late Model points leader. And I mean barely a points leader, but we'll take it. And of course, last year's world champion, Steve Casebolt. Steve, thanks for coming on Southeast Dirt Weekly.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So, man, this week, obviously, this season has been a whirlwind season for you. But really, this stuff, I mean, you kicked it off last year. I was obviously reading your bio. If you read your bio, you would have thought, man, this guy blew up in 2000, about 2005 and 2006. You've been on a roll. But still, a lot of changes have been going on for your team. Obviously, you've changed owners. Now you're doing your own deal. Mm-hmm. But, man, through all that, you managed to somehow grab the doggone points lead in the Lucas Oil Series. Tell me about that.
Well, I guess it just comes from being prepared, and we worked really hard over the winter putting this thing together and just made sure that everything was as good as we had it last year with the other team. And then also, we tried to improve on any areas that we lacked in before. So we got lots of good equipment and good help and great sponsors behind us with Dixie Choppers and Fathead Sunglasses, and it's starting to pay off.
And that's what I was going to ask. Two things we're going to talk about right there. Obviously, your crew. I know you brought some good guys along with you there, which I want to talk about those guys. And then about the sponsors, man, everybody. I've seen the Fathead Sunglasses sign. That's really got to be cool for you guys to have them on board. I know you can do some really cool promotions with that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, your other sponsor, Dixie Choppers, man, you know, been around for many, many years. You guys sell them on your doggone website. I saw that on there, too, man. That's really cool. Tell me about how it is to work with sponsors like that.
Actually, this is my first season really getting to work with full-blown corporate-style sponsors, and it's been a pleasure, really. I mean, people kind of look at it as I know a lot of people in dirt racing are afraid of that, afraid of the corporate people getting involved and stuff like that. But, I mean, as far as what I've seen so far, it's been great. They've really are trying to understand our sport, and my main contact over there at Dixie Chopper, actually, he's kind of caught the bug, and he's calling me every day wanting to know where we're going racing and when he can go next and trying to figure out how he can go. It's been pretty neat.
But, you know, we were just talking about one of the local drivers from over at East Bay. As a matter of fact, we had him on just a few minutes ago, when talking about getting sponsors for him. Just like you said, I mean, if you, I always told people, I said, man, if you can get that potential sponsor out to the racetrack on race night, I guarantee you he is sold, man, because he cannot stand next to that machine and feel the excitement there at the racetrack and not want to be involved. There's no way that somebody can, if you get them there and you got them that far, and the rest of it is kind of done, and especially when you guys are there and the performances you've had, that's 90% of the battle.
Yeah. I mean, it is important to show the sponsors what you got going on and let them know. And when they do show up, obviously everybody tries to do their best every night as far as performing well. But another thing is just have everything ready, have everything organized, and even if you don't have a $200,000 truck and trailer, have whatever you got, have it nice and clean and organized, and they like that, and that's what I've tried to do, and it seems like it helps.
And this is your first year with major sponsorship like this, Steve?
Yeah, it is. It really is. When I first started out, I drove for a guy that owned a Ford dealership in Cincinnati, and he was pretty big time, but it was a little different because he owned everything.
Right.
And this is my stuff, and so this is the first time we've had actual sponsorship like that.
Did winning the dream and picking up that big chunk of cash there, did that help get these sponsors in line?
No, not really. I mean, the people at Dixie Chopper didn't even really know what the dream was. yeah, they
amazing.
They were they're kind of on board with Team Lucas Oil Series, all of that stuff, and I kind of got to know those guys down in Florida at the PRI show when we had our banquet, and just went from there. Oh. Turned out really nice.
That's cool.
Man, that's how you got to do it, man. You got to be ready at all times. And it's just like you say, you got to be professional. No matter what you, I learned that real quick for a good friend of mine, Lee Falk. Man, you got to be prepared no matter what you got. I don't care whether it's a rollback hauler with the tires on top, or like you said, whether it's a stacker hauler with the latest and greatest. You can't run around like goofballs. You got to be professional. You got to know what the next step is all the time. And that's really hard to do at the racetrack, especially on that dirt side, which is what I've noticed, because it's changing all the time. And many times you guys come out there with what I consider a limited crew. I mean, you guys are doing this with two and three or four people sometimes.
Yeah, well, I mean, two people's a bunch for a traveling team.
Yeah, that's amazing to me. I don't see how y'all get away with that. It blows my mind. Tell me how that works, two people.
Well, this is my first year to even have two guys. I always had just one guy and me, so, I mean, if you count me, that's two, but...
I just can't get over it, man.
It just boils down to hard work is really what it boils down to. I know a lot of people think, oh, man, you get it made, you get to go race on the weekends and go out and have fun. It's not really like that. I mean, it is hard work.
It's hard work, but they say if you do what you like, you'll never work again. And obviously, you're doing what you like. But
exactly.
Yeah. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. It's like I said, what are you doing this weekend? Well, I'm racing two nights, and then I got to go practice the third night. So, when are you coming home? It's like, no, I don't know. You know, when I come home, I wash clothes and repack.
That's
so,
right.
So that can get kind of tough, but, you know, that's just part of the deal that you live with. And I always ask people, Jack, I asked him about how many races. He said about 65-70 this year. So,
well, you know, Scotty, I'm just sitting here trying to get my head around, okay, we go to the races, we got a couple of us, including myself, and we go win the dream. I'm still stuck on that. I can't. That's tough stuff, man.
Well,
tell me about that. Tell me about that experience, man, winning the dream, and like you said, with this, you walk into the dream with you and somebody else as your crew.
Well, I guess I may have confused you. It was a little different last year. When I drove for those guys last year, they had a pretty well-funded a pretty well-funded team. They had a good crew behind them and lots of good equipment and pretty much everything financially you'd need. So we had like three guys that night, but still, I mean,
that's not very many three to me either. But, I mean, and obviously that helped. But that moment winning there, and obviously that did catapult, it's got to catapult your confidence of saying, now I really am running with, I mean, you look at people like the people that's won before, and obviously Blomqvist has won there many, many times. But you're now, you know, included in that elite category. That's got to do a lot for your self-confidence.
Well, I don't know. It does. I guess I get down on myself kind of easy. If we don't run as well as I think we should, then I get a little bit discouraged. But this racing thing's such a tough deal that it's just, I don't know, it is easy to get down on yourself just because you can go out and be on top of the world one night, and then the next night you look like you never raced before.
But, you know, you look at you guys, and I know, you know, the first win hasn't been there for you yet this year, but, you know, it's that consistency that pays off for you, and that's the hard, grinded-out part that you guys may be experiencing now. But still, I mean, you find yourself in the points lead.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We're excited. I don't really know. I mean, I don't really know what's going on. It seems like everything's going really well, but we haven't got a win yet, like you said. So, I mean, we're pumped up, but at the same time, we still want to win, you know. And we don't really feel like our car's been as good as it should be yet this season. So that's kind of what that test is all about Sunday. We're going to go try to get some stuff figured out, maybe get rolling a little bit better.
So tell me about this weekend. Obviously, it's a back-to-backer. You got one in Ohio and then one in Kentucky. Is that right?
Yeah, we race it. Hilltop Speedway in Millersburg, Ohio on Friday, and then Saturday is Florence Speedway in Union, Kentucky.
You know, and this is obviously called Southeast Dirt Weekly, so we're going to try to talk about the one, what I would call the Southeast track there, the Kentucky Speedway. What's it like to race there in Florence? I see them all over the Internet, and obviously they do a lot of promotion. Florence must be a great place to go race that.
Florence is an awesome place to race. It's actually one of my favorite tracks. It's kind of different in the fact that you usually know what you're in for when you get there. Most dirt tracks, you get there and you think, man, this place could be rough, or it could be smooth, or it could be slick, or it could be all of them, or it could be muddy, and you never really know with dirt racing. But when you go to Florence, you pretty much know what you're in store for. That place gets slick, and you can race all over it, and it's usually a heck of a race for everybody, the drivers and the fans alike.
And so one other question, I'll ask you this question. So, yeah, when we used to go to racetracks, I used to go with Buzzy Rudiman, man. He'd pull out a notebook that looked like he'd had around since 1945. And he'd have notes from everything. Do dirt racers have these notes like that? Do they have notebooks of past, what happens on this? Or is that something you keep mentally? Because, man, the track changes so much. I don't know if notes would really do you any good. Do you have notes like that extensive? Or is this something that just you kind of keep in your own head?
No, I keep very extensive notes on. I actually do it on a laptop, and I've been doing that since like 98. So we're talking 10 years of notes on a laptop.
The same process then.
Yep, 60 races a night for 10 years. I mean, you got, or 60 races a year for 10 years. So I mean, what do you got? That's 600 races that we got categorized on there.
I'd say the notebook probably, well, I don't know, Buzzy probably had about 50,000 races on it. I don't know how many he had, but Lord knows, that thing looked like a Bible you get from the doggone Gideon Bible from the hotel. But, you know, that's how he keeps it. But I didn't know if that was the same, and obviously, like you said, things evolve in every sport. But you guys, the evolution has been unbelievable. This year and last year, I was looking online, obviously, you left East Bay last year, I think it was like 65th in points. That's what the deal about going to these Lucas deals is. There's 120 cars there, and if you don't have a good run your first time out, you, like I said, 65th. You start off 65th in points. That's got to be a, you know, heartbreaker.
Well, East Bay was terrible for us last year. It just, for whatever reason, East Bay usually is terrible for me. I'm not sure why. But except for this year, with the exception of this year, we left there sixth in points, which was a huge improvement, obviously. And it's weird because I like racing that place. It's an awesome little place to race at, but I just haven't had much success there. So, we were pumped to leave there sixth in points, and that 65th place deal last year, that was a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, that's when you really have to question yourself. You're like, man, I can't believe I'm starting off at 65th, and this is the way to go. But you guys obviously turned it around last year, and now, like I said, you've carried that on this year. The wind's got to be just around the corner, no doubt about that. But once again, you're the Fatheads coming on board, and then, you know, the other sponsors, and then the retention of the teammate and the team running real good. Everything appears to be going really good for Steve Casebolt and y'all's team.
Yeah, it is. It is. We're excited. I mean, we're not going to start celebrating yet because it's a long season ahead of us. But as of right now, I couldn't really be any happier.
Steve, do you do this full? I mean, is this your full time thing? Do you have a business or job that you also work at?
I try to buy and sell some houses, and it's
a little...
just been like, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to do. Really, my dad's always pushing me to do that, and he was trying to get me to buy one the other day. I was like, you know what? I can't.
This is a tough time for that business, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
it's a tough time, and plus the whole time you're thinking, man, I got to get back underneath my race car.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure.
You know, that's got to be on your mind. You're going, man, do I want to deal with putting the roof, you know, re-roofing this thing, or do I want to really just get back on the road and get back over to the racetrack? That's got to be preying on your mind, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's got to be tough, you know, especially when this is the only thing you do. But you do it well, man. That's the good part about it, and so many races coming up. But, man, this weekend is going to be tough. And barely leading, or, of course, we're down here in Florida, so Earl Pearson up in Jacksonville, everybody knows Earl. But you guys are going to be neck and neck, and that's what it's been like for you guys all year long. And the battle's going to be the same up there this coming weekend.
Yeah, at Florence?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
And at Ohio.
Yeah, he's tough there. I mean, he's tough everywhere. I mean, you can't really say he's good or bad anywhere because he's good everywhere. So yeah, he's the man to beat for sure. So we actually kind of pay very close attention to what they do, and because they've won this thing three or four or five times, I think. So just try to maybe duplicate them and maybe even outdo them when we can.
Well, Lord knows he's a bottom feeder, so like you said, if you want to learn that bottom groove, that's where he'll be. But
I don't think so. He'd surprise you if you'd seen him lately. I told him the other day, I saw him, he drove around Bloomquist for the win at Brunswick on the outside, and then he did it again somewhere else. I thought, man, well, I asked him, I said, what's wrong with you? Are you sick or something? you went around some guys twice on the outside twice in a row, so yeah, he's getting versatile on us now.
What's your?
No, just when you thought, you could have him. I might have had him figured out, but
yeah.
I was Scotty. I was going to ask you, Steve. What are your impressions of Brunswick down there? Scotty was just interviewed Frankie Lloyd, the owner, last week. We were talking about that. Neither one of us have been to that track.
My impressions of Bloomquist or
Brunswick, the track down there.
Brunswick, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I loved it. I thought it was great. It wouldn't matter to me to go back there three or four times a year if it wasn't so far from me. I mean, I think that's the best track we've raced on all year so far.
Well, there you go.
I mean, we raced below that place. I was running the bottom up underneath the Bloomquist for the lead, and Bloomquist was running the middle, and Earl was running the top. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, really.
No, it really doesn't get any better than that, I tell you. When Frankie was telling us, I got goosebumps, and I was like, yeah, that made it sound so cool, so... Yeah, that track is obviously a great place to watch a race at, and watching you guys battle it out. I remember just watching on these this year, and like I was telling Steve, and just so you know, on the phone with Steve Casebolt, current points leader in the Lucas Oil Dirt Late Model Series, I was on the phone with Steve telling him about the premise of the show is, hey, I used to be the asphalt, you know, announcer, and now I'll come over. The cool thing about coming over here to East Bay is the first experience I had was coming to East Bay, and watching all those Lucas Oil cars pour out there, and they were like, there were 120 cars there, and I don't forget, they said, there are 120 cars here. I said, what do you mean, out in the parking lot? And they were like, no, 120 race cars. I was like, you got to be kidding me. And then the next show I saw was you that night. So after that, I was pretty much sold on this Lucas Oil Dirt Late Model Series. This thing is blown up, and you talk about corporate dollars. It can be a little scary for a lot of people if you don't know how to handle that. How is Lucas Oil handling that influx of what has already happened to you and certainly what's going to happen to other people with sponsorship dollars?
I mean, it, they're, they take every effort to try to make our racing as equal as possible. And, I mean, racing's never going to be equal. Racing's about money, and it always has been. So it's going to be hard to really regulate how much money people can spend. But, I mean, they do their best. They got a tire rule where the competing national series doesn't have a tire rule. They enforce it, so that's good. And they kind of take every measure to make sure that guys are following the rules, which is the main thing. And then as far as the actual series, as far as the people at Lucas Oil and all that stuff, I mean, they're just awesome people to work with at Forest Lucas and all of those people. So they know, I mean, they're all about big dollars and big money and all that stuff. I mean, they know what's going on.
And that's the cool thing about it is they know they sponsor so much, so they know about sponsors, and they know when you bring in sponsors how important it is that they be catered to and, you know, be shown a good time to, because obviously bringing them back is the big part about it, getting the sponsors, getting them to keep coming back.
Yeah, that's the hard part, huh?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, but, you know, I truly have to say, you guys, the program y'all got going on, I know when I saw, like I said, there at East Bay, I got to see you guys race out there, first of all. It's a performance like no other, just to come watch the Lucas Oil Dirt late models. And then you guys in particular, it's like you said, very professional, very class-like organization. Everybody, whether it really is that way or not, it appears that everybody kind of knows where they're going and what the next thing is. You guys look to have that part down. And so, man, you know, I'm looking forward to a great weekend of racing in Ohio and following you guys, and we'll see how you finish in Kentucky. And once again, you guys are leading Earl Pearson by, what, 4 or 5 points, I believe. So
five,
he's going to get one this weekend.
Yep.
Yeah, awesome, man.
Well, once again, we want to say thanks for coming on board Southeast Dirt Weekly. And, Steve, once again, you've been a great person to have on the show, and we look forward to having you back on.
SteveCaseBolt.com, Scotty.
Oh, yeah, man. I'll tell you, your website, that's the other thing I would say. Your website's awesome. Looks really, really good, and those guys at Fathead and the other guys done a great job over there.
Go buy a T-shirt, Steve Casebolt T-shirt, man.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I will buy me. You know, I got to go get me a T-shirt right from over there. Hey, that's some really nice-looking T-shirts. I think I will buy me a Steve Casebolt. What number is that? 9C, right?
C9,
baby. See, and that's what I mean from the asphalt side. The numbers mess me up. Oh, sorry, I'm just now getting it down. Dude, I announced one car last week that was a XXX 001 JRC machine. How do you announce that at a racetrack? Come on, man.
You certainly remember. Or something.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, man, you got to be kidding me. But thanks for coming on board with us this week. Steve Casebolt.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Steve.
Yep, bye.
Oh, Scotty.
That's professional right there, man.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was, but it was one of the guys that we were talking to on your show recently, who races at one of the regional touring series as opposed to, you know, like the Lucas Oil or World of Outlaws.
Right.
And we asked him what the difference was. I don't remember who that was. Might have been Ivan and Lloyd, but it may not have been one of those guys. We asked him what the difference was. And remember he was talking about that at that level, the guys don't doubt themselves or don't second guess themselves. They just do it. Remember that?
Yep.
And you get that when you talk to guys like Chubzilla and Steve Casebolt. I mean, you get that.
Well, you know, you think that you can see real quick that they have had, you know, they put a program, a year-long program together, a five-year-long program, and they're mapping this thing out, and they're following where they've done good at, where they've done bad at. And they're evaluating that, and that's how you got to really do your program. They evaluate your program. I'm sure they do it probably hourly there at their shop. But, I mean, they evaluate it, and I'm sure, you know, they make adjustments as the days and weeks and months go on and as the races go by. But, you know, the evaluation process never ends for those guys. So it's just a constant battle of, you know, you're never good enough. You're only as good as your last race. Well, you know, it's just like we talked about before. In this business, you're going to lose a lot more than you win, you know, and so it's just a constant struggle. And for those guys like Steve Casebolt, you know, mediocre and just, you know, sometimes an average not going to be good enough for those guys. They're looking for a championship here. They've already, you know, wrapped up a big win at Eldora last year, and, you know, they wrapped up the Rookie of the Year last year in the Lucas Oil Dirt Late Model Series. So Steve Casebolt, seriously looking for the championship. Like I said, 4 points in front of Earl Pearson Jr. So, I mean, you got to tip your hat to him. No wins, hey, who cares? You're a points leader.
Yeah, no doubt. So what are you looking at for this week coming up now? We got you'll be at both Ocala and East Bay, Ocala Speedway and East Bay Raceway Park.
Yeah, I'm trying not to look too far ahead, man, but this Kyle Memorial, it's hard not to do it. But this week at Ocala, of course, this Friday night, it's the Pepsi six-pack Hobby Stock Series event. I believe it's round three, maybe round four of that event. But we welcome the Pepsi guys out. Always a great field on hand for that show. Those guys put on a great show.
And wherever you are, go support your local short track, huh?
I mean, get out. First of all, it's going to be a great weekend. I know it is here in Ocala. So wherever you're at, go watch some great racing. And there's nothing better than grassroots racing. And it's like I say, I got friends from all over the country, and they'll tell you, man, the racing right here in Florida is no better across the country. So, you know, wherever you're at, whether you're up in Kentucky, go see that race up in Kentucky. Man, that's where I want to go. That Florence, Kentucky sounds like the place to be. So if you're in that area, make sure you go out up there and check out the Lucas Oil Dirt Late Series, or if it's the World of Outlaws that you're near, or, hey, if it's the Hobby Stock Series that's right there in your hometown, make sure you go check them out. And if you're in this area Friday night, make sure you come out to Ocala Speedway, America's Dirt Track. And then Saturday night, dollar beer and fan participation race, the Clay by the Bay. Believe me, it gets no crazier. Just stop off at Ebor on the way up there, and you'll be in the right frame of mind by the time you get to East Bay. It's a little quirky, but Lord knows it's like no other place. So make sure you come down there Saturday night, East Bay Raceway Park, fan participation, dollar beer draft.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something too, Scotty. You know, people that we had some suggestions last week. People sent us and gave us some calls and had some suggestions for guests on your show. And I think what we'll do here is I don't believe we have a contact form on your webpage on Real Racing USA for Southeast Dirt Weekly. I don't think we have a contact page. Maybe we'll put a little form on there, and people can send you, go right there and listen to all the archive shows of your past shows, and also send you an email, let you know what they think of the show, and also suggest some guests, either local or national guests.
I don't care whether you're the track owner, a driver, a crew chief, the sweeper. If you want to get your message out there and talk about dirt racing in your community, give us a call, man. We'd love to have you on. We talk about the tracks here, and then obviously, we talk about some of the national drivers, and you know, it's Southeast Dirt Weekly, so, you know, we want to talk about the guys over in Mississippi and Louisiana and Texas and Arkansas and you name it, you know, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee. Give us some suggestions. It didn't matter who it is, whoever you want to talk about, send me their name and their number, and we'll give them a call, and we'll have them on Southeast Dirt Weekly. Love to, man. That's what it's all about.
All right, there you go. And, Scotty, at the conclusion as we go away here, we're going to follow this with a replay of last week's show, and give us a little synopsis of that show, just a couple as we leave here today.
You know, we talked to Chubzilla, and he talked about Chub Frank's 30 years of racing in this business, and obviously he had some big wins too, so we were able to talk about him, his race facility, and what his, you know, plans were for the rest of this season and what he's done so far. So won't let you know too much of that, but it was a great interview with Chub Frank. Man, been around forever. Great guy to listen to his story. One of those guys you could sit and listen all night to. And then after that, as you said, we had a promoter from up at Golden Isle Speedway, Frankie Lloyd, up on the phone with us. That Frankie, man, got in depth, and it was cool to hear him talk about, you know, the battles and the wars and the victories that he's had there at Golden Isle. So that was really cool too, about the good things that's happening there and what he's got going on. So hang on and listen for that. And I want to thank everybody for listening to Southeast Dirt Weekly. Once again, Jack, thanks for having me on the Real Racing Family and Networks. And we'll look forward to seeing you back here next Thursday night, 7:30 to 8:30, here on Southeast Dirt Weekly.
See you then.